If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
And welcome, everybody, to Pulse of Fins Nation. I am your host, Louis Song. I am joined by Eric Weideke, and we will be joined later on by Duke and Chad Ronnebaum, who are regulars on the show. So we had a delay a little bit. There were some things going on in the background that needed attention. Those things have since subsided for the most part. And also the Florida Panthers are not playing, and they are not losing tonight because they are not playing. Though Panthers fans, I don't know. You're a Panthers fan, Eric. You went to the Panthers game that one night. Are you starting to feel a little antsy about what's going on over there?
Yeah, 100%. Anytime you got to, because now you got to go back there, and you don't want to go on the road. It's a bad thing all around. It's bad vibes all around right now.
But on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that they can still get the job done?
I mean, I'm still pretty confident they can get the job done. I think I'd have it at about a 7 right now. Still got to just win one.
All right. All right, fair enough. All right, so today's topic, we're going to be talking about how does the Miami Dolphins roster stack up to last year? We've already got Cap for Life in the chat. Thank you for joining us, as always. We really appreciate having you on. Before we get too far into it, once again, as always, we have to mention our show's sponsors. First of all, we have PrizePicks.com. PrizePicks.com is the revolutionary fantasy platform where you can pick up to, if you're in Florida, 4 different players across professional sports leagues, whether that's the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, the WNBA, if you really wanted to, or one of each. It's up to you to decide how you want to go about it. All you have to do is choose whether your chosen player will go more or less than their projected stat. In many places, not Florida, they'll give you Taco Tuesday. Well, Taco Tuesday is still Florida. The reason I make it say like this, folks, is because remember, Taco Tuesdays and Prize Picks and all that stuff, all that stuff is now legal in South Florida once again, because after the Hard Rock State, the Hard Rock exclusivity thing, Prize Picks found a way around it by introducing their new arena mode. But for anything that is not South Florida, Prize Picks is still full strength. You can get your Flex Friday. You can still get your Taco Tuesdays. They have your free squares. They have every reason that you could ever want to be able to join up and start making some extra money. So use that promo code 5, that's FIVE, and they will match up to $100 on your initial deposit when you sign up. Again, that's promo code 5, FIVE, PrizePicks.com, the best place for you to get your fantasy playing in. All right, and also we have jerseys305.com. We're going to play the video, so here is Ethan Skolnick.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for the 5 Reasons Sports Network. We've got a great new sponsor that fits with us perfectly. It's called jerseys305.com. That's jerseys305.com. This is your home for dead stock and vintage jerseys from the Heat, Panthers, Dolphins, Marlins, and the other local teams. Their mission was born from a passion for wearing jerseys of the old styles and the past players. Jerseys 305 aims to make every fan stand out from the crowd with unique pieces that you don't commonly see anymore. Maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, but not today. And Jerseys 305 was created by the fans, for the fans. They're diehards just like you. In fact, they're probably listening to this episode right now. So check them out. Jerseys 305, their partnership with Five Reasons Sports, celebrating with a 10% discount on the next purchase using the code 5 at checkout. Unlock your exclusive savings on the entire vintage collection.
And once again, that's Jerseys 305. You get 10% off on your order when you use the promo code 5. All right. We also welcome Chad Ronnebaum to the show. Chad, thank you for joining us.
All right. Thanks for having me.
As always. So we're talking about the Miami Dolphins roster today. We do have some stuff going on in the chat right now. I know Cap for Life is talking about has to live up to a top 10 defense plus a top 5 run game. So that's part of the roster discussion. We'll get into that. Veneer Ulysses, I believe that's how you're saying it. I really think Miami is holding on the Tua contract to get more to talk to him to become the talk of next season. I will get into, I'm sure there will be Tua talk because if we're going to be talking about the roster, we have no choice but to talk about the quarterbacks as is. So we will get into all of that. But first of all, I just want to go ahead and get the impressions that you guys had when you saw the 2023 roster and what it looked like, what it felt like we could accomplish. What were your initial thoughts before the season started? I'll start with you, Eric. When you saw what Chris Greer did with this roster, you saw the names, you saw the players, you saw everything that they had managed to do after the draft and everything. What were your initial thoughts about this team?
You know, my expectations ultimately were probably about the same as what I think that they're going to be going into this year. Although in hindsight, maybe they were a little high. I felt like this was a team that would make the postseason and win a postseason game. That was my expectations of them. Obviously they fell short of that. But I think probably about the same as this year, where I think that they should have won a postseason game last year.
And Chad, what were your initial thoughts about the roster? Go ahead.
See, just to clarify, you're asking the roster at the start of last year.
Because what we're doing is we're comparing this roster that we've got now to what we had last season. Okay. So talking about the expectations of 2023 roster when we saw it.
I thought the 2023 roster was the best one I'd probably seen Miami have in a decade. I do think the current roster is pretty comparable. I think there's a little couple maybe more question marks than last year, but I do think it's got better depth this year than we had last year. So it's kind of a trade-off. But still, to me, because Buffalo's roster is a lot younger this year, especially in their secondary and wide receiver, I think we should have the best roster in the AFC East. That'd be my opinion.
All right, I feel like that's a fair assessment. I mean, I'm sure that there are people who would make the argument about the New York Jets and about their secondary. They added to the wide receiver core. They have Garrett Wilson. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers being who he is, he's still around, even though technically he's not really around at this point because he's having his excused vacations. Excuse me. It's like, whatever, man. But Aaron Anders wants us to do four bleeps and giggles. Can y'all do a list of teams that would go after Tua if he was a free agent? Trust me, folks. We will get into the Tua talk. I promise Tua will be a point of discussion. He will, because we can't get away from it. He's part of the roster. So, but first I want to kind of go a little just bit position by position here, because there are a lot of players that have been added to this team, a lot of people that have departed from this team. Although in hindsight, a lot of things have not really changed all that much. Like, there's been a lot of change, and yet there hasn't been a lot of change. I'll give you an example. So the wide receiver room, right? You still have Tyreek Hill. You still have Jaylen Waddle, who you just signed to a massive deal. You still have River Craycraft. He's around. Braxton Berrios is still here. So aside from losing out on the likes of Robbie Chosen, who is a straight line runner and nothing more, I'm trying to remember. Who else could I have thought of? Eric Azunkama was briefly playing well while he was there. He's still here, so that hasn't changed. So the real big changes as far as the wide receiver room, it's Odell Beckham Jr. and the two wide receiver rookies, Malik and Taj Washington. So if you were to go ahead and choose it, let's just put it this way. Would you say that the wide receiver room has overall improved, taken a step back? Is it basically standing pat to where it was before? Chad, I'll start with you this time.
Wide receiver room is definitely improved. When you do the comps, one thing I always recommend not to forget is that you have people that change last year that might decline a little bit. And so I don't ever look at somebody's, you know, from last year to this year, I think they're going to be the exact same player. And so I would anticipate that Tyreek Hill might decline a little bit simply because he had such an extraordinary season and he's 30 now. And so there's a chance that he, you know, he's missed a few games due to injury with his age or something like that. And so I kind of weigh that against, you know, Tyreek Hill in 2023 was 29, you know, and so he should be pretty close. I wouldn't think there'd be a big drop off or anything like that. But I mean, that's just my expectation that are we going to get a full year of healthy Tyreek Hill? And every year he gets, you know, older, that becomes less likely. I think Odell Beckham Jr. is definitely an upgrade over Cedric Wilson. I don't know that he's a huge upgrade over Cedric Wilson, but
I honestly forgotten all about Cedric Wilson.
Well, I mean, that's who he's replacing in the roster. But I do think that Malik Washington was our steal of the draft. I think he's a very talented player. And I think him as wide receiver four is a big, big upgrade for us. You know, having Malik Washington, and then, you know, when your depth players are like Berrios and maybe Exacoma, or maybe Taj Washington makes the roster, or River Craycraft. This is when I said the roster, I don't know that it's better than 2023, but it's definitely got better depth. Our wide receiver depth's ridiculously good. Like, not that last year wasn't bad, but we've, you know, last year you'd have those downs where Tyreek Hill needed a breather, Jalen Waddle needed a breather, Waddle was out. That was a big drop, you know, to, and not that I'm ripping Braxton Berrios. He's primarily a returner. He's not really a guy that can step in and play for Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle. And I think somebody like Malik Washington and Odell Beckham can get you some meaningful reps if you've got to have Waddle out a game or Hill out a game, or have them, you know, take a series off to get a breather or something like that.
All right. And I had honestly forgotten all about Cedric Wilson. Duke was in here briefly and then he disappeared. Hopefully he'll pop back on in a moment, but some names I almost forgot, just because I have to, just for the sake of making sure I'm complete about it. Chase Claypool was also on the roster briefly. And word out of Bills camp is that he's doing well. I don't know if we should take that as just he fits the offense better, or that's just a signal of how bad the room for the Buffalo Bills actually is. So Duke has just popped back in. Let's see if he's available. Duke, are you there, sir?
Yes.
All right, perfect. So glad to have you back on. So what we're talking about here, we're just trying to go position by position and kind of basing it based on what does the 2023 roster look like compared to right now. So I wanted to go ahead and ask you, since I already asked Chad, I'll get to Eric in a moment, but let's ask you first. When you look at the wide receiver room as it is, do you feel like Miami has moved forward, stepped back, or just kind of broken even from last year, in your opinion?
I would say it's definitely better. You added a couple of draft picks. You're going to get, should be getting Eric Ezekama back. You got Odell Beckham. I heard Chad talking about the depth. The depth is definitely there. I think he's correct about the upgrade over Wilson. So, yeah, I think the wide receiver room is better overall.
That's what I figured as well, because I'm looking at, just again, you replace Chase Claypool with somebody like a Malik Washington, for instance. Claypool is he's a big, tall, kind of a wide receiver who we already know he doesn't run good routes. That was how the season ended, because his route was god awful. You can blame Tua for throwing it there if you want, but that route was god awful. It doesn't matter how many ways you slice it. So Claypool doesn't run routes, but he's a very good go and get it guy. So I feel like that helps Josh Allen more than it helps Tua. So give him credit where that is. Eric Ezekama is another lateral movie still here. Robbie Chosen, I will gladly take OBJ over Robbie Chosen any day of the week and twice on Sunday. And even if we're going to say, oh, OBJ replaces Cedric Wilson rather than one of these other guys, that's perfectly fine. If you like, I, as much as I wanted to defend Cedric Wilson as much as I wanted to give Cedric Wilson the benefit of the doubt. It was clear that his I guess you could argue his play style didn't match what Miami wanted. Miami is all about speed, 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 and more speed, and also elite route running. Cedric Wilson had the route running to some extent, but the speed, he's not the fastest guy out there. He's not. Not to say he's slow, but he just doesn't keep up with the rest of the crew. It just doesn't. So,
well, and one of the things to remember about Cedric Wilson was he was the first wide receiver addition for Mike McDaniel.
Before Tyreek showed up.
And then Tyreek Hill became available. So it was a situation where it's like, well, we can work with this guy and maybe things are a little different, but then you get Tyreek Hill and that just changes the game. So, I think people got upset about his contract, but I think his contract was fine because he was expected to be a higher volume player, and then Tyreek becomes available. That like I said, changes things.
It does indeed. And Cap for Life asking, do you guys see Cheetah more in the backfield, perhaps on special teams? The answer to that question, I still firmly believe, is no. As much as we want to hear about how, the new kickoff rules are going to make it for that superstar players have more of an ability to make superstar plays, I really don't think that they're going to uproot Braxton Berrios at this point in this state. I really feel like whether you believe that Miami should or not, I don't think that they will. So I expect more Braxton Berrios as the kicking and punt returner. I just don't see Miami changing course on that.
I have a thought on the new kickoff thing. So I was trying to get some information on how the kick work. So if you boot the ball out of the end zone, the opposing team gets the ball at the 30-yard line, correct?
I would have to double check.
I think
on that
so. It might be the 35. They've changed it once or twice, but it's something like that. Yeah.
I think I think it's somewhere in there. It's the 30-yard line. So at some point, I think teams, especially if you have dynamic returners or you're giving up a lot of yards in the return game, I think teams are like, you know what? Last year, we kicked off out of the end zone. It's at the 25-yard line, the 30-yard line. We don't care about that extra 5 yards. I think by week 5 or 6, we're going to start seeing teams start at the 30-yard line, and they're just going to avoid the kickoff altogether.
So there's too many big – I guess it's too many big plays that they're not going to be able to avoid, so they're just going to say, you know what, we'll just take our chances.
Well, that's what – yeah, I mean, the 20-yard line is where it starts. You have to land the ball inside the 20-yard line. So if the other guy's catching the ball and he's getting the ball routinely 15 yards from there, you're going to be in a worse position. So, yeah, just kick the ball out of the back of the end zone, especially if you've got a guy like – if you're playing in a big game and Tyreek Hill's back there and Jalen Waddle's back there or Devon Achane, and you're like, you know what? I know Miami's offense is explosive, but I'd rather take my chances getting a stop than putting the ball in that guy's hands with a free running start. They're going to kick it out of the back of the end zone. So we might not see as many returns for Miami as we think, just because I think teams will be scared.
All right, that's fair enough. Eric, thoughts on the wide receiver room?
It's unquestionably better. Odell is an upgrade over Cedric Wilson. Malik Washington, Taj Washington are both solid additions. I think
we lose Eric.
Did we lose Eric? Yeah, I think we might have lost Eric. Eric is frozen in time. Well, he basically said in a nutshell what everybody else is saying. Yes, the depth is better. The top of the lineup is still as strong as it's ever been. So we'll be able to just kind of base it off of that and say, okay, yes, we are good to go with the wide receiver room. So
still here?
Eric, you kind of froze, sir. I kind of summarized what you said is wide receiver room good. Yes, thumbs up.
Yes, unquestionably much better. To answer the question about the kickoff returns, I recall Taj Washington doing kickoffs at USC occasionally. And
they might throw Taj Washington out there.
I think that there's a very good chance they throw Devon Achane out there, just considering the depth that they have at the running back room right now. But
yeah, I think it'll be Jalen Wright. But I think you're on
the or Jalen Wright at this point. I would
trust, you can risk him. Right? I mean, honestly, yeah.
I would trust either of the Washingtons or Jalen Wright before Braxton Berrios at this point. He just feels really expendable to me right now.
I mean, again, the question is not whether who you trust more. I just think this is what Miami will do, not what they should do.
I can see the Washingtons. Berrios will be the punt returner, I think, almost for sure. Is he safe? He doesn't very, very seldom turn the ball over. But on the kick return, it's so hard to tell what teams are going to do because, you know, the teams are up. You're going right. What is it, the 40 they're putting you on for the defense?
Okay, so let me just read this route because I looked it up. The landing zone. The landing zone is the area between the receiving team's goal line and his 20-yard line. So if the kick hits in the end zone and stays in bounds and is returned or downed, if it's downed, then the touchback is to the 30. Any kick that goes out of the back of the end zone touches to the 30. So it's not the – because Cap for Life was asking just to confirm. That if you kick it out of the back of the end zone, they start at the 30. End of discussion.
I mean, I get the safe factor, you know, if like Miami might put Tyreek Hill back there in a playoff game or something like that. But you got to look on the flip side. If you get your kicker just to get the ball in the air and you can get it in the landing zone, you have the chance of drilling a team at the 5 because your guys are moved way up. And so you're going to see defenses come out there and you're going to see guys that have really fast defenders coming down full tilt. And so I think the thought process that, well, I'm just going to kick it through the end zone because I don't want to risk the return. I'm looking at it on the kicking team and saying, I'm going to try to pin these guys on the 5 or 10 yard line and I'm going to just bring it. I'm going to send guys down because it's going to be, that's a lot different than returning it when the guys are on the other side of the field coming down. You have space. There's going to be almost no space. So once you feel the ball, say at the 10 yard line, you got somebody coming down on you right away. And so there's a good chance you can get a turnover out of it. There's a good chance you can take a team and put them on the 5 or 10 yard line, which is a huge defensive advantage. So just a thought.
All right. So we'll move on to the next part of the roster here. So I really do feel like this one, there is not much to discuss as far as what Miami can accomplish here, as far as their roster improvement. Tight end. So just to clarify for everybody as a reminder, tight end for Miami consisted basically Durham Smythe, Tyler Croft, Julian Hill, and Tanner Connor. I don't think there's really any debate. I don't think there's any discussion to really have here. The Miami Dolphins improved at tight end. They added Jonnu Smith. Durham Smythe is still here. They added Jody Fortson Jr. from Kansas City, who, by the way, is a very underrated prospect. He moves like a wide receiver. He's basically a big wide receiver, like a la Mike Gesicki, which I'm perfectly okay with at this point, because we need somebody who can kind of fill that role. Tanner Connor's still around if he wants to try. And Julian Hill, listen, as much as like is an undrafted rookie, all that stuff that we talked about last year, Julian Hill actually played pretty darn well for what he was asked to do. He was good at blocking. He showed that he has some potential as a pass catcher. So him being in year two in this offense, I'm expecting a lot of improvement from him. So tight end, no question in my mind. It's just by adding Jonnu Smith and Jody Fortson, it's already vastly improved.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question on. I mean, tight end, I think, is the biggest upgrade on the team, just because since McDaniel's been there and before then, we haven't had a real complete tight end. Durham Smythe's a good blocker, but he's pretty easy to neutralize in the passing game unless he's like not covered out in the flat or something. But Jonnu Smith is a big problem for teams. You can't just put a linebacker on him and hope for the best. He'll torch linebackers over and over. And he can actually block, you know, Mike Gesicki, great receiver, terrible blocker. That's why Mike Gesicki has struggled, you know, since he's left Miami, is when Mike Gesicki's in the game, it's going to be a lot harder for the team to run the ball. Everybody knows that. So you just watch him in the passing game. So, but yeah, to me, I think we're going to see 30 to 40 more receptions out of the tight end position this year compared to last year.
Eric.
Yeah, you know, the other thing that Jonnu Smith does that Mike Gesicki did not do, it's yards after the catch.
I was going to say he runs like a normal person, not a baby giraffe.
No. Well, that too, but he makes plays after the catch. I can't help but think about all those little rollouts and the flat to Durham Smythe
If Jonnu Smith is the guy making those catches, maybe he breaks a tackle. You get a couple more big gainers out of it. And he's in an offense where the defensive attention is just not going to be on him almost whatsoever, just because of all the other weapons that defenses are going to have to account for. So I can see Jonnu Smith, particularly in those short yardage situations. I know, unfortunately, as much as I know we want them to run the ball in those situations, I think that they're still going to be who they are. Mike McDaniel has shown this to be his identity. He's more of a passing guy in those spots, at least compared to league average. And I think that's where Jonnu Smith can come in and make a difference right away, is in those short yardage situations and make something more out of them occasionally.
All right. And Duke, tight ends, thoughts?
I think this guy's covered pretty well. Yak, mismatch, it's all good. It's definitely improvement.
Definitely improvement. No questions there. Cap for Life says, Jonnu will eat, in all caps. I'm tend to agree. He's working with Nick Hicks. So him and Tua are seeing a lot of each other. So maybe there's some chemistry building there. So we'll see. All right. So let's see. Moving on to the next position. Okay. So I guess tackle, guard, offensive line, and as a whole, this is what we'll talk about next. I'm just kind of going from the bottom up on the Miami Dolphins official roster, because remember the way that they kind of categorize things is like you have your tackles, and then you have the OL, which means they can play everything, and then you have like two specific guard-only players. So we're just going to take the offensive line as a whole right now here. So I'm going to give quickly my thoughts as far as the offensive line. Teron Armstead is still here. Nothing has changed. Kendall Lamb is still here. Nothing has changed. Keon Smith and Ryan Hayes are still here. Nothing has changed. Left tackle is basically unchanged. The left guard. Again, nothing has changed, and that's not a good thing. Isaiah Wynn is back. So he's still in this offense. We saw him play, and when he played well. How long is he going to play? I don't know. It's frustrating to think that it's just a matter of time before our entire left side is gone, which is very upsetting. Robert Jones, I know Coach Eric Smith, he's been on different shows with us here on the network as well. He's talked about he thinks we're being too hard on Robert Jones. I do not. I don't see it with him. I think he's a backup at best. He's not as bad as Dallas Thomas. Nobody's as bad as Dallas Thomas, but Robert Jones is not doing it for me. And Lester Cotton, as far as I'm concerned, listen, the man is a bruiser. He will run people over, but he does not fit this offense at all. He fits a power blocking scheme with guys just bulldozing as many human beings as humanly possible. So that's what Lester Cotton is for. He's not built for Miami's offense. He shouldn't be here. Center, Liam Eichenberg is still here. Nothing has changed. Aaron Brewer has not been here, so that has changed. Now, can he do the same kind of job that Connor Williams did? I don't know. Aaron Brewer, he is here because he is the most athletic center that was available on the market. Was he the best center on the market? No. But he fits what Miami's offense does best. And that is kind of why he's here. Not to mention the fact that he's been routinely very healthy. He's not somebody with injury concerns. But in Tennessee, he had his moments where he didn't look all that special. So Butch Berry, once again, is going to have to put some work in to make sure that Brewer gets the job done. I personally trusted Connor Williams more than I trust Aaron Brewer, but I guess that's just the air of familiarity when it comes to him. Right guard, I really don't know where it's going right there. Jack Driscoll, maybe. I don't like where that is going right now. I have very deep concerns about the right guard position. And as far as right tackle, it's Austin Jackson. If he can continue doing what he did last season, okay, that's good enough for me. Not great, but it could be better. So I'll go ahead and let you guys talk about it, because offensive line is a very difficult subject. In many ways, it hasn't changed that much, but yet I'm not settled. I'm not happy with it. And the fact that Connor Williams is apparently in contact with teams looking for a new place to land, I'm thinking to myself, listen, if the man has to prove it himself again, come back to Miami. We'll shove you in the guard and I'm happy. We'll make you still play well. But Chad, I'll let you go first, sir. Offensive line, your thoughts. Has it gotten better? Has it gotten worse? Are we kind of stuck in the same mire that we are already in?
I think it's worse. I know people don't want to hear that, but this isn't going to be a popular take. I think Teron Armstead's done. I think he's there to help coach, but I don't think he's physically able to play football anymore. He might play a couple games, but I have zero faith that he'll be healthy more than a couple games. I just don't think his body's able to handle it anymore. He's up there in age, and very rarely since he's been in Miami has he been healthy, and I don't have any expectations for that to change. So I think Teron Armstead probably is going to be worse than he was last year health wise, just because he's older. I always like to watch the offseason guys come in. Teron Armstead does not look to be in great shape to me either. I don't think he's in as good a shape as he was last year. So I know I won't be popular. I'm just trying to be real with you. I do think I am high on Patrick Paul. I know he's not ready right now, but I do think he's going to be the left tackle by the end of the season. I think he's smart. I think he's working hard to learn. I think Teron Armstead will help that guy a lot. So I do think he'll have the left tackle job, and he's a massive, massive man. So I'm kind of excited to see how he turns out. You know, we'll know a lot more after the preseason games, but with that, I was not impressed with Isaiah Wynn showing up at camp. He looked way out of shape to me. I don't even know if he'll win the starting job. A lot of people assume he will, but maybe he'll be in a lot better shape by training camp. But if he's that out of shape, he's going to get injured more than likely again as well. So I think you're really looking at Driscoll, Eichenberg, and Jones. Now, Robert Jones looked in really good shape from where he's been. I think he's been working really hard, and I actually think he'll be better this year than last year. And I do think Liam Eichenberg is going to be better this year than he was last year. I'm not saying neither one of those guys are your Pro Bowl stud guards, but I think those are the two that are going to win it. Maybe Driscoll, I just don't know a lot about him. I haven't watched film on him to know what he is, but he's the wild card to me. Brewer is phenomenally quick for a center, like unnaturally quick as a center. So he's actually going to be an upgrade over Kyron Williams in sweeps and screens. Unfortunately, he'll be a downgrade at more traditional football. And so I'm really concerned we're going to be dealing all season with a lot of pressure up the middle. I think we're going to struggle with dominant tackles like Quinnen Williams on the Jets, Ed Oliver on Buffalo. I think they're going to be very disruptive in the middle of our game. So our game is going to be a lot of quick passing and outside runs and things like that. I expect. I don't think we're going to power run the football up the middle very effectively with this offensive line. Austin Jackson, I think, will be even better. He really jumped, improved last year. This is really his second year healthy in this offense. I think he knows this offense. And so I'm pretty happy with our tackles. I like the depth of our tackles. I like Paul and Jackson getting better as the season progresses. I think Brewer will be adequate. And I think our guards are probably bottom 10-20% in the league right now, talent-wise.
All right. Eric, do you share the skepticism, or do you have a different take?
I share the skepticism in some regards, especially as it pertains to Aaron Brewer. Unfortunately, I think Chad's right about him being just really smallish at that center position, and he does make for him being extremely quick. But I do think he will struggle there, because the thing is, we gotta be honest. Connor Williams, when he was healthy, was a top five or six center in football. And to ask Brewer to do that is, I think, unfair to him, especially this being his first year in the offense. I'm a Robert Jones believer, personally. So I think he's going to slot in and win that right guard spot pretty easily. I think he was pretty good there, especially when you compared to the expectations, maybe. Liam Eichenberg at left guard, if he can make the same level of jump from last year to this year as he did from his rookie season to year two, then I think that, yes, you might have a guy that can be an adequate level starter at guard. But all that to say, Robert Hunt is going to be a big loss. Teron Armstead is going to be another year older. We don't know how many games he's going to miss this year. We don't know how many games Kendall Lamb is going to miss with his back issues. So I think that the offensive line has gotten a little bit worse altogether. I think the only thing that may save them this year is it was kind of calamitous last year with the injuries you had along the line. And I think that it's, you know, knock on wood a little bit here, but I think that that's maybe tough. It just feels like something that might not happen 2 years in a row.
It already did, though. It already did, though. In 2022, the offensive line injuries were so calamitous. That's how Lester Cotton got here to begin with.
That's fair.
Well, I think Hunt's gone, obviously, who was our best lineman probably. But if Isaiah Wynn gets in shape, he's decent. He's a decent guard. I'm skeptical based on what he looked like showing up to minicamp that he's going to hold up. But so to me, we're already going in. Unless there's a signing, which could happen. We might sign Connor somebody Williams? Yet. Connor, I mean, so just to be clear on Connor Williams, I know people are talking about it today. This is his agent releasing when they expect him to return, okay? He is not able to pass a physical right now. And being real, I don't expect Connor Williams to pass a physical by the start of regular season. I think he's looking to get on a roster by the start of regular season. That's what they're hoping because you start losing money if you're not. And so it's, you know, I think his agent's probably still doing a little damage control for giving the guy bad advice. Connor Williams' agent lost, you know, he didn't sign an extension Miami offered. He bet on himself and he lost. And so Connor Williams immediately starts losing money at the start of the regular season if he's not under contract. So his agent's hoping to get him under contract. I could see him returning maybe October, November. The thing that makes me really curious, though, is, you know, 4 or 5 months ago, what we were hearing was this might be a career-ending knee injury. Like, it was a severe knee injury that Connor Williams. And so, to me, I'm like, what's real here is, was it really Connor Williams had a severe knee injury? Or is he going to be suddenly beating the timeline back and ready for the start of the regular season? So,
I mean, let's be real, though. Let's be real, Chad. It feels like we've heard so many times that a player has had injuries that were the end of the world for them, and then they come back 6 months later and it's like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. No worries. I'm good. Jalen Ramsey is a perfect example. He was supposed to be gone a lot longer than he ultimately was. Aaron Rodgers, right. Even. He was supposed to be gone a lot longer than he ultimately was. So I really feel like these timelines are all...
yeah, Aaron Rodgers hasn't come back yet.
Okay.
He's limping in minicamp.
Whatever, man. The point is that timelines, I feel like they estimate high just for the sake of the player. But I really feel like a lot of these injuries, at least in today's day and age, modern medicine and all that, they really don't take that long to truly get back to it. I really feel like, here, I'll use this as an example. If Byron Jones really wanted to come back, he probably could. I just didn't think he wanted to at that point.
He never did. I mean, that's it. But I'm not anti Connor Williams. I'm just saying, like, all that's right now is his agent saying they expect him to be back for the regular season. Of course they're going to say that, you know, it's because they would like a team to sign him, maybe Miami, with the hope that he would be back early enough in the season to be starter. But, you know, to me, like, I think Connor Williams won't be back for the start of the regular season. I think he's going to pick up with a team maybe around October when he is ready to go and somebody will have an injury. He'll sign a short-term deal and he'll hit the market healthy in 2025. I think that's their goal right now, because Connor Williams is not going to get a multi-year, 3 or 4 year big deal with not having played a down since his knee injury. Teams are going to want to give him a prove it deal. So either way,
exactly.
If he's healthy, of course. I mean, if he's back to full health, he's better than any of our starting guards, in my opinion. I would take him immediately, but I'm just very skeptical that he is.
But I mean, that's the thing is if he's going to get a 1 year prove it deal, and you're telling me that, you know, you can have a guy with the upside of Connor Williams just kind of chilling out in your bullpen, for lack of a better term, you know, October, November, if the money is right there, I think that's a risk well worth taking.
Depends on the money. Yeah, of course. But, I mean, Miami will sure give him a $1 or $2 million deal to be in the bullpen, but I'm guessing he wants more than that, but who knows?
Facts in the YouTube chat is talking. When you factor in the fact that Connor Williams and Hunt played less snaps than Liam, Lester Cotton, and Robert Jones, and the losses aren't that big. So Duke, also Veneer Ulysses talking, let's stop giving credit to players from 4 to 5 years ago of production and look at development of what can be shown when the season starts by this staff. So again, I'll admit it again. I've never been shy about it. Bruce Berry has done a fantastic job since he got here. He turned Austin.
Let me tell you about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sport. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Football is on the way, so do as I do and make Monday and Thursday night football more interesting. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the promo code 3YARDS. That's the number 3YARDS and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's the code 3YARDS on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Jackson into somebody decent. We're looking at Patrick Paul now with just waiting with bated breath to see what happens with him. Because, again, another player that you have to build from the ground up. I've been harping on this ever since he was drafted. You have to teach Patrick Paul how to play tackle, not in college, in the NFL. You have to start from scratch with him and make his fundamentals, his mechanics, rebuild from the ground up. That is not an easy task. It's good that we have Teron Armstead to help. It's good that Butch Berry is here. It's good that the team is filled with offensive line coaches, basically, because Frank Smith also comes from the offensive line. So we'll see what happens with that. But Duke, what are your thoughts on the offensive line? Up, down, or just kind of the same?
Well, I'll start with the bad news. The bad news is the offensive line is undeniably worse. You lost more talent than you brought in. Now, some bits of good news. Number one, the areas that you are weaker at are the lower value positions, which is guard. We've seen that this the staff does not tend to value the guard position like other teams in terms of financially, draft-wise, and so on and so forth. They prefer tackles. I think the offensive tackle position is better because they did draft Paul. So you added a phenom, a physical phenom into the fold there. I think Brewer is at this point is kind of a wash. We don't know that he's going to be better. I wouldn't say he's going to be better, but you can't say that he's going to be necessarily worse either. And the other bit of good news is I don't think the offensive line could the injury situation could be worse than what it was last season. Even the injuries they had in other years, last season they had 9 players, I believe, play nearly 400 snaps on the offensive line. No other team had anything close to that. And in fact, if you look at the other, and I've even seen people say, is it the scheme because they're moving so far downfield? Look at the Rams, look at the Packers, look at the 49ers. All of those teams had 6 guys play like 800 snaps or something like that. They did not have the same level of injury. And it wasn't guys you expect. Like, you expect that with Isaiah Wynn. You expect that with Teron Armstead. But it was Connor Williams and it was Robert Hunt. Those guys played every snap but one in 2022. And 2023, they missed over half the season. So you had Liam Eichenberg playing center, a position he's never played before, at least not since, you know, little league kind of stuff. And he was essentially learning that on the fly. You had other guys in there. So when you look at the overall offensive line, I'm less concerned about how the offense is going to operate, because really it couldn't get a whole lot worse than what it did last year. When you have Robert Jones and Liam Eichenberg and Lester Cotton as your starting interior, and you're still playing good football. So I think some of that will kind of rectify itself. You're not going to have the same level of injuries. The talent necessarily isn't there, but I think it's going to be okay. And I do believe in the development. So I'm hoping that the coach is right and Robert Jones takes that next step. I think if you move Eichenberg out to guard where he doesn't have to contend with the center position, I think he's going to be an improved player. So I think we're going to see some stuff there that are going to surprise us. But overall, you can't say it's better just with the level of losses. When you lost Connor Williams, and maybe they sign him back, but right now he's not there. If you lost Robert Hunt, who was a really good guard, I don't think he's $100 million guard, but he's still a very talented player, and you lost him. So they're going to make it work, but I don't think it's necessarily the woe is me offensive line is that bad as a lot of people want to make it out to be.
Well, as long as we'll get into the last, we're going to save the best for last. We will. And I'll talk about the reasons why for that. And I know that everybody's waiting for the last minute, but we're not going to get there yet. So next position, you know what, we're just going to go ahead and we'll have to save defense for next week because we've got too many players to go through. Let's get into the running back room. So the real big change here, nothing really has changed except for one thing, the addition of Jalen Wright. Everybody here is still here. Raheem Mostert, he signed his minor extension. Jeff Wilson actually is still here. Chris Brooks is still here. Devon Achane is still here. Achane, somehow he's still here. I don't think he's going to stick around this time. I think this is the end of the road for him. And of course, the addition of Jalen Wright. So there's really only one change to talk about. So I'll go ahead and I'll pitch it to you guys. Is the addition of Jalen Wright enough to say this team has gotten better, or are you taking it from a different angle? I'll let you go first, Duke.
Well, at worst, it's even. So because if he's that bad, he's just not going to play. So you have the same group you had last year. Mostert's a year older, but he's still, for a running back, doesn't have a lot of miles. Achane should be better. You still got the guys from last year. So yeah, it's definitely a better room with the addition of Jalen Wright. Because he does offer a component that they don't necessarily have, which is a size guy with speed. They've got size. They've got speed. Now they've got a player that does both. And I'm assuming the goal would be for them to transition away from Mostert after his extension, which he's here through next season. So you figure probably by the end of the year, you're going to see more of Jalen Wright. But, yeah, it's definitely a better room.
Eric?
Yeah, I mean, you have to agree. The room is essentially the same. Raheem Mostert, towards the end of the year last year, he started to kind of, you know, you had those nicks and bruises that older players tend to accumulate, especially at the running back position. I think this year with Jalen Wright, you know, now you're going to get to a point where you've got another guy kind of waiting in the wings that can take that pressure off of Mostert, which I think might make Mostert better. As difficult as it is to say that he can be better than he was last year, maybe in shorter, in smaller doses, you get improved play out of Raheem Mostert. I think Devon Achane is going to be used a little bit more heavily in the run game this year, which is an exciting dimension that I'm looking forward to with him. You know, I think that the running back room is unquestionably better, even if Raheem Mostert takes a small step back, because I do believe in Jalen Wright as a player. He's a guy that he's a guy that's going to have an immediate impact right away on this team, one way or the other.
On the YouTube chat, Veneer Ulysses says that he thinks we have the best running back room in the league. I don't know if I'll go that far. Christian McCaffrey still exists for the 49ers, but Chad, let's hear your thoughts on the running back room. What's going on with you?
Definitely better. I mean, obvious. Now, you guys mentioned a little bit. I think the big change is going to be Devon Achane is going to be really good. I'm extremely high on him. Instinctually, he's such a good one cut runner, and he's so quick. Coming into camp, he's clearly put on 5 or 10 pounds of muscle, which is going to serve him well. And I love he has really good pad level into contact. And if you're a fantasy player, get him, because he's working heavily at receiver, and you know Mike McDaniel is going to be moving him all over the place. And they're going to come out with a 2-running-back scheme. And if you are a linebacker heavy, Devon Achane is going to immediately run out and be a 4th wide receiver. Suddenly, they're working hard on getting his routes, because he's so fast that you can't cover him with linebackers. You just can't. And even safeties would be hard. So I think he's going to be exceptional. I think he's running back 1 now. I think they're going to go light with Mostert earlier on because of his age. And Mostert still, to me, is the most all around hardest runner we have, which this team desperately needs in December and January. If you want to be able to run the ball against a team that has a good defensive front, Mostert's your guy. I mean, he's the angry runner guy, right? And so I think early on, you're going to protect Mostert a little bit more. You're going to see quite a bit heavier load to Achane earlier on with Jeff Wilson working a little bit. I think Jalen Wright will get worked in sparingly. I mean, I love his speed. I don't like that he's an upright runner. I'm not a fan of upright runners, but I mean, Jay Ajayi was an upright runner and he was really good. So we'll see.
Jay Ajayi's he had no cartilage, bro. I think that's a little different.
Yeah, but when I say upright runner, like if you watch film on Jalen Wright, he doesn't bring his shoulder down into contact very often. He likes to just try to run upright. And I haven't seen him. The biggest thing I look for in an NFL running back to jump is when you get the ball and there's not much there, can you get a yard or two? Can you turn a 1st and 10 into 2nd and 9 or 2nd and 8 when the defensive line stuffs it? And Achane will do that. Mostert will do that. Wilson will do that. We got to see Jalen Wright do that, because a lot of running backs like him, they're so used to being fast, they just try to outrun everything. And so you'll see him dance in the hole and try to bounce outside or dance in reverse field. And that's where you turn a 1st and 10 into 2nd and 12. And so we'll see how he handles the contact and the physicality of the NFL. But either way, Mike McDaniel will get that guy the ball in space, and his speed will serve him well. And he is he's a very good pass blocker as well, which will get him some reps on the field. You've got to be able to pass block if you're going to play running back in Mike McDaniel's offense. So that is a couple of thoughts there. But yeah, I mean, obviously the room's better. We didn't lose anybody. I agree with you. I don't know if Ahmed will make the team this year. For me, with the addition of Jalen Wright, you want to give him those reps now instead of Ahmed. And I kind of think they want to keep Chris Brooks around, just because, you know, he's the heaviest running back I believe we have. So if you do want a guy that can pound the rock a little bit, having Chris Brooks around might not be a bad thing. And he's cheap, so we'll see. I don't know what Ahmed's contract looked like. Didn't he sign an extension? So I don't know how much of it's guaranteed or
it's
not.
Probably not. It's nothing that's going to keep him around. And by the way, you are correct, Chad. Chris Brooks is the biggest guy on the roster. He stands at 223.
Yeah. So they
he's actually the tallest running back too. Go figure. He's 6'1".
Yeah. He's our biggest back. So I just when Jalen Wright got here, I don't know what you're doing, what you're going to do with Ahmed. Unless Jalen Wright really struggles picking up the scheme or something like that, or gets hurt, obviously, if injury happens. But he'll be pressed to make the team, especially with our wide receiver room. It's easier to maybe let go of Savon Ahmed than let go of an Eric Exukoma or something like that. You know, they might give that the extra roster spot. So, but, you know, it's kind of long-winded. But I think our running back room is definitely good. I think it's definitely top five in the league for sure. Depth is sensational. So I think Mike McDaniel's tired of going into games with backs out. So he's just loaded up with running backs. So.
Well, he for all the lack of running he does, he doesn't seem to care. It's like he doesn't run the ball, man. Which brings us, like, do you like my segue? Which brings us to the grand finale. We have 10 minutes left, folks. We can go a little bit over, but I'm sure that we will. It's the quarterback talk. Here we go. We've got Skylar Thompson. We've got Mike White. Gavin Hardison is here now. He's got a nice big arm. But nobody wants to hear about that. Nobody wants to know if Gavin Hardison is going to take Skylar Thompson's job. Nobody cares. Let's talk about it. Tua Tagovailoa. The contract. What's going on with the contract? Why isn't he signed yet?
If you let me go, I can give you guys some insight if you're interested. Not that I know anything.
You got sauces, Chad?
No, I. This is just common sense. If you look at what the Dolphins do, Miami likes to structure contracts with a third year out. They do that a lot. And so if you look at Tua, I don't think there's any belief out there that he's not a $50 million a year quarterback. I mean, if you say Tua's top five, you're a homer. If you say he's below 15, then you're a troll. I mean, he's between 5 and 15 for sure. And any quarterback between 5 and 15 right now is a $50 million quarterback. That's what you're getting on a per year basis or more.
Here we go. I told you we were waiting for this. Troy Ortiz. Mediocre quarterback's about to get paid. Yay. Oh, God. Here we go. Go ahead.
I don't entertain bad Tua talk unless you give me a realistic alternative. And I've never seen one in the last 2 years. So your only way to replace Tua is to draft a quarterback, which is maybe 20% chance you're going to hit. And not have a complete bust. So they're going to keep Tua for now. There's no viable alternative even close right now. But let's just use, for simple math, let's say you're going to pay Tua $50 million a year. And that Tua's fine with that, and the Dolphins are fine with that. What this is about is the guarantee, right? And so what Miami wants to do is they want to say, okay, we're going to give you a four-year extension. That's what you're going to offer them. $25 million in the upcoming year. That's his option year, what he's getting paid roughly. It's a little less than that, but this is used 25. And then 2025, 50, and 2026, 50. That's $125 million guaranteed you're going to give to right now. That's what Miami's probably got on the table. And then after those 3 years, Miami wants an out. And so they want to have less guarantee from there on out. Tua and his agent want another year guaranteed in there right now, which is another $50 million. So right now, that's your difference right now. So Tua's asking for probably $175 million or so, $180 million maybe guaranteed, and Miami's offering around $125 to $130 million guaranteed, and that's what the impasse is right now, is $50 million. And to me, Tua even let it out a little bit. I don't know if you heard his last interview where you could tell he was frustrated with the contract talks, but he said specifically, we just have to meet in the middle. So that tells me this deal will get done for around $150 million guaranteed, the 160. So we'll see, you know, how right I am when this deal gets done. I'm looking for Tua to get a deal done probably around camp, around training camp time, for about $150 million guaranteed.
I mean, training camp has been the timeline since day one. Everybody's been saying by training camp, the job will get done. By training camp, the contract will be done, et cetera, et cetera. Anything before that would be bonus time. But I will say this Chad. There are many people, including in this chat, because Troy still is making it a point to say he doesn't believe in Tua. I was at work today, and one of our drivers whose job is to move trucks around, he came into the office to ask me about how I felt about the draft. And we got into talking about none other than Tua, and he also is not a believer. For many of the same reasons that I keep hearing over and over again. He can't run. He's too slow. He doesn't dodge well. He doesn't make plays with his legs. He's like, for one reason or another, there is no faith in Tua because he hasn't he hasn't accomplished. Like the team, the Dolphins have not won a playoff game with Tua yet. That's one of the biggest things that it's undeniable. It's true. They haven't won a playoff game with Tua yet. He hasn't. But, and according to Troy's asking this, please, where do I rank our mediocre quarterback? First of all, he's not mediocre. He's not. I'll definitely put him over Trevor Lawrence, and he just got paid a boatload of money. I'll put him over Trevor Lawrence easy. I'll put him over Jared Goff. People think Jared Goff is better than Tua. Talent-wise, as far as raw physical talent, Justin Herbert's better than Tua, physically speaking, because Tua's not 6'5", 200-something pounds who can run faster than a speeding bullet. He's not that guy. Justin Herbert, physically speaking, is more talented than him. But Tua has accomplished more than Justin Herbert. He just has. And I don't want to hear about the weapons that he's had. Justin Herbert has leaned so heavily on Austin Eckler and Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. He's had weapons. Now, none of them have been Tyreek Hill. But even when Tyreek wasn't around, he still had Jaylen Waddle to work with. Okay, that's one. But then he had Malcolm Perry, Lynn Bowden Jr., Mac Hollins. Give me a break, man. Like, Tua was able to somehow make an offense function. Just the fact that he was able to make it function with that kind of an offense, with those kind of weapons, is a miracle in and of itself. So that's where
let me just say this, Lewis. No matter what you think on Tua or not, I've yet to see a reasonable answer from anybody is who could have Miami acquired better than Tua?
You keep drafting until you find one who's an elite player.
You don't, because you lose your job.
That's the mindset. That's the mindset of a fan. I'll say that. A lot of fans. I'll use this. Armando Salguero talked about it all the time when he was with the Miami Herald. Every single time we talked about it, he said, draft a QB every single year until you find the guy who's going to be the next Tom Brady or the next Aaron Rodgers or the next Pat Mahomes, because you never know where they might be hiding. And for that part, and in that point, I understand. I get it. But there's no way that you can feasibly do that.
That's all you can say is we'll just keep drafting a quarterback. I mean, the Jets have drafted, Darnold. They've drafted Wilson. How are they doing right now?
We heard about Christian Hackenberg. You remember Christian Hackenberg? He came out of the woodwork out of nowhere.
I'm just saying, like, again, you're in the 20% range if you get a first-round pick. I mean, look at Zach Wilson's draft. Look at what's Mac Jones doing right now. What's Justin Fields doing right now?
Mac Jones is Trevor Lawrence's backup.
What's Trevor Lawrence doing right now? And so the only realistic name you can say is Justin Herbert. And Tua's won 2 out of 3 games, roughly, he's played in. And Justin Herbert's won 1 out of 2 games he plays in. Tua has won a lot more games than Justin Herbert. And I would argue Justin Herbert's had a better team the last couple of years offensively. Maybe not last year, but in terms of the time he's been in the league, he's had players like Keenan Allen, you know, on his team when Tua's got Isaiah Ford. And so, again, I'm not arguing to say Tua's top five. Tua's not a top five quarterback, but how do you get top five quarterbacks? You're not going to get Patrick Mahomes. You're not going to get Josh Allen. Your options are, do you try to get somebody like Kirk Cousins, who's 34 off an Achilles, who Atlanta's already trying to replace, or do you go with like a Baker Mayfield? Those guys aren't better than Tua. They're not even close in terms of their win percentages or their stats. So,
actually, Chad, Kirk Cousins is 35, and he'll be 36 in a couple months.
I'm just saying, like, what are your real options? Your only real option to improve upon Tua is to draft a quarterback. And if you're a Miami Dolphins fan and you look at the decades before Tua was here, the chances that even if you draft a quarterback every year, that you're still 80% likely to have him be a bust. And then if you're doing it every year, how long do you give that guy before he is considered a bust? Like, if you don't get CJ Stroud every time, then you just draft again.
Yeah, so that's what the mindset is. You find the guy who's lightning in a bottle, and he immediately is the best player that you've ever seen in your life. That's the mindset.
It's rare. That's all I'm saying. It's really hard to do.
It's a lottery. So it's the quarterback lottery.
What is Tua, 25? Something around those age-wise? He's a really young
26.
Guy. 26. So, I mean, he's your best chance to win right now, and he's your best chance most likely, unless we have a really bad year. Probably our best chance to win next year is going to be Tua as well. Now, I don't disagree with the idea we should be drafting quarterbacks, in the sense that I do think it was a mistake at the position to just sit pat with Mike White. I don't think Mike White's a good quarterback. I don't think this team can functionally win with Mike White at quarterback. So why aren't we drafting a quarterback and letting him, you know, try? You know, why didn't we draft a quarterback maybe in the second round? Or why didn't we give up a sixth round pick for Justin Fields? Like, nobody can convince me that Mike White has more potential than Justin Fields does a quarterback. And so, yeah, I do kind of agree with the mentality that we should be adding quarterbacks, but I don't agree with the idea that, well, we should get rid of Tua or we shouldn't pay Tua, because there's no viable alternative. Like, this team can't win with mediocre quarterbacks. Most teams in the league can't win with mediocre quarterbacks. And as I started off, if you think Tua's top five, you're a homer. If you think he's worse than 15, then you're a troll. You're not paying it. I mean, the guy just was the first team starter in the Pro Bowl. And could you imagine if Justin Herbert was the pro? Well, why wasn't Justin Herbert starting first team Pro Bowl? Why didn't Justin Herbert lead the league in passing? And so it's not easy to do. I know people like to say, well, it's just Mike McDaniel's offense. Mike White did not look good when he played in Mike McDaniel's offense, in my opinion. So, again, it's not about how good Tua really is. It's just he's the best option they have right now.
Duke, let's hear it.
Well, I said this earlier in the week on the Finsider, and I'll say it here. The quarterback that all these fans want doesn't exist.
He does, Duke. His name is Patrick Mahomes.
No, they would find something wrong with him if he was here. It's greener grass syndrome. Everything else is better. Look, I remember with the Tannehill days, if you ask, well, what's wrong with Tannehill? Why is he a bad quarterback? Well, what's the first thing they're going to say? Pocket presence. That's all I heard for years. Pocket presence. We need a quarterback with pocket presence. Now what is it? What makes Tua a bad quarterback? What's it going to be? Arm strength. He doesn't make plays with his leg. Look, arm strength and making plays with their legs is fifth and sixth on a top three list of important quarterback traits. As long as they have adequate NFL arm strength, and Tua does, then it doesn't matter. You don't need to have a rifle or a cannon like Josh Allen or Justin Herbert to be a great quarterback. But that's what everybody harps on. Accuracy is the most important thing. Mental processing, the decision-making. Those are more important things. Now, there are areas in Tua's game that those have to improve. But, again, I don't know if I mentioned this last time around, but it was, I think, Travis Wingfield mentioned this on the Drive Time podcast, that there was a play from minicamp where Tua throws an out route. I don't know if he said 20 yards or something, but it was a fairly deeper out pattern. And he said the ball hit the receiver with pop. It hit the pads and you heard it. And I don't care what happens in minicamp, because none of that stuff really matters. The result, I don't care if a guy catches 17 touchdowns in one play. I don't care. Minicamps, it's all fluff. But stuff like that is important, because it shows, hey, this is something, an area of growth for Tua. So, I mean, I get the trepidation and I understand it. And again, there are things that Tua needs to work on. But like Chad said, come up with an argument about why Tua is a bad quarterback without bringing up arm strength or without making plays with their legs. I don't care. Josh Allen, his first couple years in the league, was a really good running back. He's not a really good quarterback. He could run the ball well, ran the offense, but when it came to throwing the ball, he was scattershot. 50-something percent accuracy or a completion percentage. Couldn't get over the hump. He worked on his form. He worked on his mechanics. He changed a little bit in his arm angle, got up into the high 60 percentile. They became a force to be reckoned with. And that's what it is. So I think with the additions with Jonnu Smith and Odell Beckham Jr. are going to help when teams try to take away Hill and Waddle. I think heavier reliance on the running game, especially with Achan running routes now, I think we're going to see an even better Tua this year. Maybe we don't necessarily see an increase in stats. I'm hoping that we kind of lean more on the run game. I think you're going to win more games when you do that. But I think you're going to see a better overall Tua. I think he's going to protect the ball better. I think some of those poor decisions he makes, you know, it's like that means that, screw it, Hill's down there somewhere. I think you're going to see less of that and a more reliance on getting the ball to his outlets, which are going to be Smith, Achane, Mostert,
And so I think, you know, we were talking about the tight end room, and Chad alluded to it, I believe, and I think Eric alluded to it a little bit, is that he's going to – Jonnu Smith is going to be a factor, not just for his yards after catch or his mismatch, but it's also going to be the fact that he's going to be an outlet. He's going to be a guy that offers more than Durham Smythe does as that outlet. And I think Tua is going to trust him a little more, and we're going to see that growth from Tua. So instead of forcing passes, if you go back and watch the first interception in the Baltimore game last year, and remember that game, you look at the final score, it was a really bad, bad game. But it was still close. It was 21-13, I believe. And Miami had the ball, and they're driving. And for some reason, they decide to push the clock. Instead of taking the two-minute warning, they decide to run a play there. And Tua forces the ball. Roquan Smith picks it off. But if you look, if you watch the All-22 on that, Durham Smythe was up the seam. If Tua just takes the time, first of all, they didn't need to run that play. But secondly, if he takes the time, he doesn't try to force it. He gets it to Durham Smythe. Durham Smythe was not covered. You get the ball right after the two-minute warning, probably right at the 20-yard line. So let's say they do that. They use up the clock and they score a touchdown. That's a 21-20 game at halftime versus a, what was it, 28-13 game at halftime. So that's the kind of stuff I want to see from Tua. Be smarter with the ball, make better decisions. And I think having those different players that he didn't have last year. And again, you know, I think if that's Jonnu Smith and that, maybe it's a different coverage, but, I don't know. I'm just tired of the arm strength stuff and the making plays with their legs stuff. That is honestly, the most overrated quarterback traits there are. And I tune out when people start talking about that stuff. Like, we need arm strength. I tune out because I'm like, listen, that's not it. Because you know who had arm strength? Jamarcus Russell.
Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler wasn't bad. All right. I think I think that was more
he
of
was
a
bad for us.
Well, but that he was he checked out long before that. I mean, he did make it to an NFC championship game. So I think there was some other stuff there. But yeah, like Jamarcus Russell. Some of these guys, you have big arms. That doesn't mean anything. The job of a quarterback is to throw the ball. And that means the ball's got to be at a certain spot at a certain time for someone to catch it in the proper context. And if the ball is not where it's supposed to be, at the time it's supposed to be there, it doesn't matter how fast the ball gets to the wrong spot. I mean, yeah, I might be able to throw a football 80 miles an hour. It's not going to matter if it's not where it's supposed to be. So what Tua is really good at is putting the ball where it's supposed to be at the right time. That's all that matters.
Eric, a lot of the chat talk is about he's not clutching big games, and he was 1-6 against playoff caliber teams. So
hey, before I don't want to cut Eric off, but they said the same thing about Ryan Tannehill. They get rid of Ryan Tannehill, he goes to Tennessee, and what does he do? He has like seven comeback wins and leads them to the AFC championship game. So
to be fair, Duke, that was a while ago. He hasn't been that guy for a while.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what they said about Tannehill. They said, well, that guy can't win the big games. And what does he do? He goes to Tennessee and wins the big games. And the only team he didn't beat was Mahomes, who rolled over everybody that playoff. So, again, just whatever.
Eric?
Yeah, I mean, there's really not much left to be said on the Tua subject. I think he's better than a lot of people in here tend to think. You look back at those big games, there were a lot of critical drops by Tyreek Hill, a lot of mental errors by the offense as a whole, not just on Tua. He will get paid, and he will be better because the surroundings around him will be better. And that's where I stand on the matter. He's also going into year three of the offense. I think we're going to get less of those autopilot picks, which is where, you know, Tua just kind of pre-snap decides where he's going to go with the football and then throws it right at a linebacker because he just didn't expect them to be there. So I think he's going to be a little bit better with those this year. So I think Tua's going to be better than he was last year. The backup quarterback room, who cares? I think you should draft a quarterback every year, but in the sixth or seventh round, maybe find a Brock Purdy. Maybe, who knows, it's probably worth a seventh round pick. But I'm not drafting a quarterback in the first round or in the top three rounds every year. Far from that.
Here, we'll end the show with this. Eric, we looked at this list last week. So Duke and Chad, you're here now. Let's just very briefly, do you recognize this list? I'm sure you saw it. Oh, I'm sure nobody could have.
It's got to be Chris Sims, right?
It is. So, so we're talking about mediocrity and whatnot. Let's just briefly go over this, right? So Troy talked about, he put it on the chat here. He talked about Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Stroud, Aaron Rodgers, if healthy, and Lamar Jackson. That's six better. I'll agree to that. Those guys are better than Tua. CJ Stroud right now, the way he played last year, okay, fine. He's better than Tua. You have Joe Burrow. Sure, okay. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. Nobody's arguing that. But everything else, like, I put Tua over Brock Purdy. Tua makes more plays than Brock Purdy. I put Tua over Kyler Murray, easy. I don't even know why Kyler Murray's even as high as he is. Kyler Murray hasn't done anything since he got here. Baker Mayfield, all of a sudden he has one good year and suddenly Baker Mayfield is a star again. He was not good for the past several years. Aaron Rodgers, I have to read it. I'm reading it as it was written. Aaron Rodgers is not, he's old and he's not mentally checked in anymore. If Aaron Rodgers thinks at age 40 plus that this guy, he can just waltz in there and just kind of breeze his way through games now, I'm sorry, it's not going to work. You have Jordan Love at 13. Jordan Love, he had one half, not even a whole season, one half of a good season. And suddenly he's like worthy of being branded the next greatest person ever. I don't understand that. I'll put Tua over Trevor Lawrence. I put Tua over Jared Goff. I'll put Jalen Hurts over Tua just because he has an extra dimension to his game that Tua doesn't have. It's his running. Prescott? No. Like, you want to talk about clutch. Like, people talking about clutch. Dak Prescott is not clutch. He's literally the opposite of clutch. Justin Herbert, he's the opposite of clutch. Justin Herbert made Alfredo Arteaga 3 yards per carry a lot of money by throwing interceptions in the fourth quarter on a regular basis. So,
when you look at this list, Lewis. So, I mean, first of all, Justin Herbert's done nothing to justify being sixth. I mean, he's a 50% win quarterback. But that being said, on this list of those quarterbacks, which ones that are better than Tua were feasibly available for the Dolphins to acquire? Like, how you give me the quarterbacks off those lists Miami could have acquired. I only see one, maybe two.
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, or maybe Baker Mayfield. I mean, last year. So that's the point I'm making, whether you're a Tua fan or not. Like, none of those quarterbacks on that list are, you can't get those quarterbacks. And I mean, the like best said, chance you, is the Bears. That's the number one overall pick. Is Caleb
do you
Williams.
Believe that Baker is better than Tua?
No, I don't. I don't think Kirk Cousins is either. I mean, he's, like you said, he's 35 coming off an Achilles. My point being is that you no matter how you rate him, it doesn't matter unless you can. What does it matter if there's a quarterback better at a position that's not on your team you can't get? Your job as the general manager or for the Dolphins is to get better. And there's nobody on that list that Miami could functionally have acquired. And as a matter of fact, the quarterbacks that are similar, like Trevor Lawrence and Jared Goff, in my opinion, are pretty close to Tua. You could rate them. They just got massive contracts from their teams. You know why? Because they can't get better quarterbacks than those guys. And so if you have a top 15 quarterback, I mean, I know Chris Sims is putting him down to 18. I think Tua is probably somewhere between 7 and 14 on this list, realistically. It's really hard to get top 15 guys even. So he's 25 years old. He's probably going to get better this year in year three of the offense. Rather leaving the argument behind on where you rank him, I still never see anybody give me a functional option other than just keep drafting quarterbacks to get better than Tua. I mean, that's just the reality of it.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and call it here. We've had our talk about Miami. We've talked about Tua. Next week, we'll talk about the defense since we didn't get
not
to
Tua.
It.
We'll talk about not Tua.
I mean, listen, if he somehow signs his contract, then all bets are off. But I don't think that's going to happen. So
Hey, we'll mark it down though, Lewis. 150, 160 million guaranteed at training camp.
It's on the record, and it's going to be on the 3 yards per carry podcast feed as well. By the way, anybody who hasn't already done so, go to OnlyFins. It's a discord.gg/OnlyFins. Only $3 a month for the best Dolphins talk you can get anywhere. Actually, they just did an exclusive Discord only Q&A with Alfredo Arteaga, which is why he was not joining us tonight. So you can always tune in to check that out as well. So once again, prizepicks.com. If you haven't already signed up for it, use the promo code 5. That's FIVE. They'll match up to $100 on your deposit when you sign up. Jerseys305.com. Get yourself some classic jerseys. If you don't like any of the modern players Miami's got right now, go to jerseys305.com. Use the promo code 5. You'll get 10% off your order. You can get a classic Dolphins jersey of somebody in the legacy that you really like. We're going to end it here. Thank you all so much for listening. We will be back next week. We'll talk about the defense unless Tua signs his contract. Good night, everybody.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.